verifying it.
The noon hour is here, and it's time to talk about the teams you love with the guys you know and trust.
Yeah, that's right. We are the best.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
I don't know, Lloyd. Every time I come in with this music, I feel like I'm Koppel or maybe Brokaw. Maybe I don't know, sometime big-time reporter, and it's intense. And some of the political numbers are in. The polling numbers are in. And here we're coming in with this intense music, and we're about to deliver some heavy political news and really get into a debate. It's kind of a hard-line music a little bit. But still.
I'll try to make it better.
It's solid. Look, I don't want to go making changes when Scotty's
not here. No, it's okay. I'll do better.
I kind of like the, hey, let's get ready to have some fun environment.
Or, I could bring back the club music that we had originally.
I like the club music. Or, you know, I'm always up for love. So anything that makes me feel love or compassion or joy that way, I'm up for that. Like if you wanted to come in with some Chicago, or you wanted to come in with some Lionel Richie, and you really wanted to make it sultry and soulful and beautiful.
You know, maybe
I'm
I'll just
with
add John Cicada, but then Scotty's not going to like it. So I'm trying to please two people that are kind of different in certain ways.
Scotty and I?
Yeah, you guys are different in certain ways.
We're essentially the same person.
Originally, like. Scotty liked this one, so I don't know. And then he's like, you know what? I don't think I like that anymore. It's like, okay. I'll try to make you happy, Papa.
Scotty and I are about the same person. Except for he reads books. Or he says he reads books. I've actually never seen him with a book in his hand. Which, by the way, speaking of Scott Gerard, the co-host of the Hanson Scott
Show. No, we don't talk about him right now. He's competition.
The guy that is typically here with me manning this ship across rough waters. What does he do? He flies across the country. He takes half the signal, and he says, all right, bring it on, man. We're competing head-to-head. So now it's me versus Scotty and his Utah State Aggie basketball call.
Don't be causing too much trouble, okay?
I like our odds, Lloyd. I like our odds. I think we're going to hang in there. By the way, if you're listening to the Zone side or to the Hans and Scotty side of things, that's on 97.5 FM. If you want the Utah State Aggie broadcast, that's on 1280 AM. You can flip it over. And here's Scotty. I just wouldn't suggest you do that because you're going to miss out on so much great stuff. Lloyd and I have so much great stuff, and you're going to miss out on all of it.
There are hot sports takes that we've been just grilling up. We've been sauteing.
Oh, smoking hot.
They are
smoking
sauteing.
Hot.
They sauteed overnight. They just sat there and marinated. They marinated.
Smoking hot. Hot sports takes. We're talking about, like, I've got inside information on the coaching situation in the state of Utah. Like, real deep inside information that I'm going to divulge.
Wait, I thought that needed a merit.
Okay, that was
longer.
That was a lie.
Okay. Wait, what?
I over-teased.
You might want to marinate that a little longer.
I totally over-teased. But we are going to talk a little bit about the coaching situation. And we're going to be doing it with the one and only, the flute player.
The
cup of tea man.
The flute.
The resume revealer. The all-time great Christian Cox, former Utah.
Oh, that means I get to bring those back. I'm always excited when I get to bring that stuff back.
What I'm hoping is we just run it all show. I just want to hear his resume for 2 hours. When he's introducing himself to an on-air guest and just starts rolling it off.
See, like, it just makes me – I should have set up a bunch of guests so we could just do that nonstop. That's my fault.
So Lloyd, I'm going to ask you a question. I think that Christian played with Tom Brady for 2 years. I played with Peyton Manning for 3 years. Who played with the better quarterback?
Oh, he did.
Johnny yells me.
No. He played with Tom Brady. You know Tom Brady's the better quarterback.
No, I don't know that.
He wins the head-to-head. How is he not the better? He's got more Super Bowls. You know that.
Because I don't know what kind of teammate Tom Brady is. Okay, you're right.
He buys his guys Uggs. What'd your guy buy you?
You know, he buys them baby Billy Goats and Uggs. And fur coats. So you're right. I'm just trying to be contradictory. I know that it's Tom Brady. It just kind of bums me out that Christian Cox played with the better quarterback. But I will tell you that Peyton Manning was the absolute man and a blast to be around. Great teammate. So we'll talk about that. But Christian Cox and I, obviously Christian, former Utah defensive end, did a fantastic job with Coach Whittingham and that system for so many years. Did a great job on air with us, Lloyd, until he said, screw you guys, I'm going to go make big bucks. And
actually,
that's what he did.
Until he wrecked his car.
No,
that's
no.
That's when we had to say goodbye.
No. Christian Cox left us for big money.
Oh.
And it was a sad day, a very sad day. Luckily, we had our rebound girlfriend ready in Frank Dolce, and it worked. It wasn't just a one-and-done with Frank. It worked. We've made this thing work for, what, 4 years? 5 years?
Yeah, it's been a struggle at times with Frank.
Has it been? Yeah, 4 years with Frank, hasn't it? Or is it three?
I think three. I feel like three. Could be wrong. So, it feels like three, though.
Three football seasons with Frank, and he's done a great job. But excited to get Christian Cox back with us coming up for the Utah preview show that kicks off at 1 o'clock. So stay tuned for that. And as always, we like to jump in and get things started with the Utah Jazz on a game day. Utah Jazz getting ready for the Toronto Raptors. You're going to hear from Joe Ingles. You're going to hear from Eric Paschal. And all of that is coming up right now in your starter.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go!
And now it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the Starting Lineup. Starting Lineup. On 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Starting Lineup brought to you by Peach Windows. As always, Peach Windows, the best in the business. So, the Utah Jazz getting ready for Toronto Raptors. A Toronto Raptors team that is right now on the struggle bus. This is a team that is 1-5 through their last six games, and they are in full-on struggle mode. But that doesn't mean that they're not a good team, because this is still a team that can bring Van Vliet at you. This is a team that can bring a guy and somebody who's playing extremely well in Anunoby, who's got 20 points a game, about six rebounds, and about a steal and a half per game. You're also going to see guys like Kim Birch, who right now is averaging 3.3 offensive rebounds per game for a league-leading Toronto Raptors team in offensive rebounding at 13.3. So this is an offensive rebounding team. This is a team that is just recently out of a championship appearance and performance. This is still a very good Toronto Raptors team that's coming into Vivint Smart Home Arena tonight against a Utah Jazz team that it felt like they kind of caught their mojo a little bit against the 76ers. At least their percentages were up. The usuals were hitting, and it felt like it was a better team defensive performance against the 76ers as well. Now, the 76ers obviously deplete. They were without three of their big names, but the Utah Jazz took care of business. Joe Ingles, who Scotty and I have talked a lot about Joe this year. We've talked about Joe and some of his shooting issues. I talked about his issues yesterday. Joe Ingles in 2020 was averaging 45.1% from three and was shooting 6.1 threes per game. This year so far, he's averaged 39.4% and he's only taking 4.7 attempts per game. So some of Joe's numbers are down, But Joe is still a huge part of this team. And I wanted to let you hear from Joe in Shoot Around earlier today. Here's Joe Ingles and his take on the Toronto Raptors.
Well, Joe, how kind of an odd one to start with. How do you go about choosing the shoes that you play in?
Bro, if you could see my shoes right now, these things are brown. I've worn these shoes that much. They're literally brown. I'm taking it off right now. But I was, you can ask Clarkie and Junior. It's with the national team and here it's, there's no like, there's zero thought process in my shoe selection. If it does look like it's like coordinated at all, it's probably because Clarkie or Junior have coordinated with the uniform. For me, it's like, obviously the car, I've worn these same model shoe for, I couldn't even tell you how many years now. But more of like the comfort side of the shoe than having specific things on it. I think the only time I've worn shoes differently is the autism game that we've done. Apart from that, just a plain white pair of a light colored pair of shoes.
Those are Kobe's though, right?
Kobe's, yeah.
Are you nervous with the whole Kobe thing happening that you'll run out of them eventually?
Well, I've only got this model. I've only got a few more pairs of. So this will definitely be the last year that I can wear them. I do have a lot of the other models stored away, stacked away, but I'm not nervous. I'll figure it out. It's a pair of shoes. I'm not like, it doesn't, I've worn them because they're comfortable and I've been able to get a lot of them, but there's no, like if I can't get them, I'll just wear something else. It's not, I really don't like, think much about shoes at all. No, I wear my Chucks and I wear some Crocs and these Kobe's. That's it. It's quite boring.
I do want to. So Toronto leads the league in offensive rebounding. You know, what is key to basically not letting that happen? Like, how do you guys go about that?
I think at times this year we've had games where we've given up way too many offensive rebounds. It's obviously not, and I think for the whole like getting a hit and boxing out is more of just the concentration and the effort of, instead of just turning around and kind of hoping it comes to you, is like just double checking where your guy is. We always, I mean, Quinn talks about it a lot, but like, even if you take a step, if I can see where Locke is here and I take a step towards him, they usually probably stop more than not. But it's obviously the ones when teams are shooting more threes and playing quick and they're shooting, it's usually coming off the rim harder, longer, further away from the hoop. And they're the ones I think we get caught on sometimes. TJ McConnell comes to mind, where it's like, free throw line extended and he's running in. And obviously if you're not looking or don't know exactly where it is, the fact that I got one last game shows how easy it can be to, if no one boxes you out. So I think for us, it's just that the concentration, and it's hard because we obviously know it's important, because the games that we've given up 10, 12, 14 of them, I think one game we had 10 or 12 at halftime, someone had, I think it was Miami, actually. Double the possessions, or not double, a bunch more possessions. They score 18 points off them. It hurts you a lot. So it's, well, we just have to focus on every, usually the bigs are in good position because they're under the hoop, but the four guards that we've got out there need to just take that effort and concentration to turn, get a hit, and usually we'll get it then. And then obviously we're pretty good going the other way.
I think the timing of the offensive rebounds, I think every team in the league would have somewhere from 9 to 10 offensive rebounds. So we need timing, and a bad timing rather, for an offensive rebound.
Yeah, I didn't know that. It's a pretty cool stat if they are. I mean, it's not cool for the opposing teams, but I don't know. That's got to be higher than normal, right? I don't know if I think, I mean, we as an offensive team, last year, I think, made the effort or the change to crash more. Like Quinn's kind of like, the more the merrier, really. Like if two, three, four we'll probably never have five guys gone, but sometimes three and four and the chances we have to get them. Because I think at the end of the day, like the boxing out stuff is more of like a mental to turn and just focus on getting a hit. And if we have four guys going, there's a good chance one of them's not going to box out at least to get those extra possessions. And obviously for us to either finish it if it's Rudy and gets it under the rim or to kick it out for another three. So I don't know if other teams have made more of an effort in recent, like this whatever last couple months to do that. But it obviously, I mean, for us, it gets us extra possessions and we get to shoot more threes, which is great for the guards.
You like that?
I do, yeah.
Look at your roster. Dean gets about 80 shots. If you took everyone's average shot, it's way more than 80. So how do you, feel out a game when the night you're getting looks, the night you're not getting looks, someone's got to kind of take less looks on a given night. Like, how do you dance through that throughout the season, throughout games?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard at times. There's obviously certain guys in the league and with our team, you're going to run more stuff or they're going to get, give or take, the same. If someone's averaging 16 shots, they're going to get between 12 and 20 kind of thing. It's like you said, sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less. I think for our team, knowing how many guys could shoot 10, 12, 14 plus shots a game. The end of the day, we've made a point of it. Coach has made a point of making the right play. So whether it's a swing and I think I am open, but someone in the corner's wide open and maybe I could shoot it. It's maybe 50-50 or whatever, whatever stat they pull up with how many feet they are close to you or whatever. I know from my point of view, I'm going to probably pass to the guy in the corner if it's 50-50, like 99 out of 100 times. So I think just making the right play. There's going to be nights that if it's like I take three shots and there's going to be nights that I'll get 10, 12 shots. Obviously, everyone likes shooting the ball. That's the hard part. Like it is... I mean, it's a fun part of the game. It's obviously we've got a lot of guys that can shoot the ball at a high level too. But I think if what we said at the start of the year and what we committed to is winning and trying to get this thing as far as we can, you have to sacrifice at times this year. And I think there's going to be guys obviously out at different times. There's always some kind of rotation change with injuries or rest or whatever it is throughout the year. And guys will get more opportunity then. But I think at the end of the day, if we're playing the right way and that's the funny part, you hear like the groans in the crowd when you think they think I might be open, but I throw to someone in the corner and Donovan's wide open. And it's at the end of the day, it's about making the right play and winning the game. And I think we've got an unselfish group that enjoys moving the ball. I think we play well when we move the ball like that. But yeah, like, I mean, it's hard at times. Everyone, like I said, everyone wants to shoot. I'd love to shoot 15 threes a game if I could. But obviously at the end of the day, it's about playing the right way and winning games.
I have to follow up a little bit. Like Quinn talked about earlier that sometimes you guys are a little too unselfish.
Yeah.
You
know,
you're passing the ball a little too much. How do you kind of balance that a little?
Yeah, it's hard. Because I think, especially our intentions, at least, they're always right. No one's gone out there to take a bad shot or turn the ball over or whatever to give up an offensive rebound. I think if your intentions are right and we are like almost one of the things, like it always kind of comes back around. Like I said, like I might shoot three shots for four or five games in a row, and then I might have three games where it's getting 10 threes. And a lot of that depends on the personnel you're playing against, how they're scouting. Do they scout me? Do they top block every action I'm in? Do they blitz Donovan on every pick and roll? He's not going to be able to shoot every time if they blitz him every pick and roll. So I think it kind of comes back to Locke's question about just making the right play. And I think we've had possessions this year and we'll probably continue to have some where it's we might get a turnover or a worse shot because guys are unselfish, but intentions are in the right space. They're trying to get a better shot. I think for me, like Royce comes to mind. Like we're always telling Royce to shoot more. He obviously he shoots it at whatever 40-odd% for his career, and he makes the right play out of those sections. But sometimes it's like the right play is for you to shoot it. I know I get caught in them as well sometimes, but yeah, I think our guys all have their heads in the right spaces on all those possessions.
Well, once we got through the tennis shoes talk, it was a pretty good conversation there. I don't know why it was 5 minutes of tennis shoes talk, but apparently Joe Ingles wears Kobe Bryant's shoes and wears the same shoes and doesn't have many left. But what we did find out was this team is trying to play inside that system, and I really do appreciate that. And I know sometimes you'll have mistakes inside systems, and sometimes when you're moving that ball around the court, you might see an increase in turnovers. But there's nothing prettier than when that ball gets moving on the perimeter with the Utah Jazz. When Donovan gets some type of penetration dribble and fires it back to the outside, and maybe it touches Mike Conley's hand before it ends up touching Bojan Bogdanovic's hand or back over to Donovan Mitchell before as he rotates into the corner. When that ball starts flying into everybody's hands and to the outside, it's as pretty as that Jazz offense can get. And we've talked at length about the threes and the percentages and what's happened with Utah Jazz. Those things are going to start to creep up. I think that, Lloyd, I think you and Scotty are probably going to win this bet. I think it was a pretty good bet, but I think you're going to win this bet. I think over the next 8 games, which we've already got one in the books, but I think over the next 8 games, we are going to, in fact, see the Utah Jazz get themselves back over. And it's only through the 8-game stretch. This does not – we're not talking about the season percent, but through the 8-game stretch, I think we will see them back over the 35.5. But I'm going to stick with the under. You and Scotty took the over, and it certainly feels – like that's the way it's trending. You know, against the 76ers, really all year, I have had no issues with the shots that they're taking.
They just needed a fall. They went through a whole season where they shot as well as they did, and there was no way they were going to keep – they couldn't get worse. They couldn't. So I just felt like it had to get better. The shots eventually had to start falling. They started finding their shots a little bit, and it would go up.
Those things will creep up over the next 8 games. We'll see how things go tonight against the Raptors. As I mentioned before that interview, the Raptors are the number one team in the NBA in offensive rebounds. They're going to get themselves second-chance opportunities. You know, they've got some good defense out of Siakam. They've got some active offense out of Ananobi. We know what Van Vliet is able to do when he gets out on the perimeter. He gets hot. This is a team that any time could come into Vivint Arena and make it really difficult. They pushed Portland in their last game, 113-118 loss to Portland. But I do know this is a good Toronto team. I can't wait. This is going to be a good test, good game tonight. We are live at Tim Deli Nissan. And I am excited because I got one of my favorites here. And I don't ever get a chance to talk with you, Rich. It's always Scotty.
It's always Scotty, yeah. This is Scotty. Great. This is a nice change.
This is a really nice change.
And I love Scotty. Yeah. Okay? Let that be said.
But let's talk about this. You know, did you know I'm an Altima man?
I did not know
Yes,
that.
I am. I'm a Nissan Altima man. I have owned an Altima going all the way back to 2005.
You know, the beautiful thing about the Altima, as big a guy as you are, yeah, and you are a big man.
I'm a big man.
You fit right in that car, and you're comfortable, aren't you?
100%. 100%. Yeah. And I've actually we're probably going to end up getting into a different Nissan Altima at some point because I want to get the all-wheel drive. I'm actually in a model before the all-wheel drive. Are they all all-wheel drive now?
That's all we order now. We get those. There are front-wheel drives in them, especially on the Sport Edition, but that's coming in as an all-wheel drive now. Everything's going all-wheel drive these days. So it's just a nice feature to have. And, you know, if you got to go up in the mountains or anything, you got it.
Is that one of the vehicles on the 0% financing?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, right now I got 14. I got 14 different vehicles, whether you're interested in a truck, an SUV, a crossover, an EV, electric vehicle, or you want, any kind of just anything that's a crossover, even the bigger ones like the Pathfinder, mm-hmm. We've got them here.
Okay, so after you're done selling the hell out of cars in a long day, what vehicle do you get in?
I usually get in a truck.
Are you a truck?
Oh, yeah, I'm a truck guy.
You're a Titan guy?
Well, you know, I'm like everybody else around here. We sell more trucks, probably trucks and SUVs than anything else. But it gives you that, it gives you the ground clearance. It's great for the winter, great for the summer. And the trucks, mm-hmm. like our new Frontier, fantastic. It's redesigned from the ground up.
What's this right behind
That's
you?
That's the Frontier right there. Yeah, we got a beautiful leveling kit on here. We got another one over here with a big set of tires and wheels and lifted up off the ground 6 inches. If you're out, folks, if you're out looking for a truck, you need to stop by and look at the new Frontier. It's absolutely gorgeous, redesigned from the ground up. And, you know, if you're looking at competitor models, add this one to the list and come in here at 4528 South State Street, Tim Daly Nissan, and take a look at it.
0% financing on 14 different models. Don't forget the forever warranty. That means you drive it off this lot, you're always going to be backed with that warranty. If it's the transmission, if it's the engine, whatever falls out, they're going to have your back. And that's the Tim Daly promise.
That's the Tim Daly promise. And it comes with every car that goes out of here. You just pick out the car you like and you get that warranty, whether it's a new car or 95% of our used cars. So pick out what you like. You get a life, what we call a forever warranty. For as long as you own that car, you got a warranty.
Come down and see us. We got a little bit of jazz gear. You can pick out a hat, maybe a shirt, and you can check out things here. And come in and ask for Rich.
Yes, sir.
We're sending them your way.
All right.
That's Tim Daly Nissan right off State Street. Best way to get here, 4500 South. You could get off the 5300 South exit, get yourself to State Street, and we're just right there off State Street. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back, and I'm going to let you hear from Eric Paschal. I think that Eric's done a fantastic job in the minutes that he's got on the court for the Utah Jazz. I think he's physical. I think he brings a high level of energy, and I'm excited to hear what Eric has to say about this Toronto game coming up tonight. That's next on Hans and Scotty.
This is DJ and PK.
Joined now by former BYU wide receiver Dylan Cauley. Kalani getting asked about his interest in other schools and saying, I'm just getting ready for Georgia Southern. When you heard that, what did you think? Part of the game, or it meant something about his potential interest in USC and Washington jobs?
I think a little bit of both. I know from very personal experience, there is no one who loves BYU football more than Kalani. To sit here and say that there is no chance that he's thinking about taking those jobs or considering those jobs, I think would be naive. I do genuinely believe that he is able to focus in on the next few games, probably with a sense of confidence that he could get those jobs. There is a lot of thought that goes into that, and that's why I think I'm glad I'm not in that situation.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Utah Jazz getting ready to take on Toronto tonight at the Vivint Smart Home Arena. I think this is actually a pretty good matchup. I think that Toronto's trying to figure out what's going on with their team right now. And they've definitely had more downs than ups over the last month. So they're going to be coming into this arena very focused, looking to get a win over a Utah Jazz team that was struggling, kind of fanned their stride against the 76ers. Shoot around earlier today, Eric Paschal, one of the new forwards for the Utah Jazz, had some thoughts on this Toronto Raptors team.
Just seeing you working with Vince, and this is a team that has like a reputation of like player development. So just kind of wondering, you know, what's your experience been like with this team as a season strong from where you were at the beginning to kind of like how you're feeling comfortable with it now?
I think I knew my role coming in. So it was actually pretty easy. Just obviously it's a new team, so you got to get your feet wet and try to understand what they want. But like as the games went on and as I just saw how the game goes, I understood my role, just bringing energy, playing defense, and making the right play at all times. So I feel pretty good.
How do you feel like that role changes with Rudy Gay coming back?
I don't know. I mean, again, it's just one of the things I know, if I enter the game, if I don't, I just bring energy, even if that's talking, knowing stuff throughout the game, seeing stuff throughout the game, giving that to my teammates. I mean, it doesn't really matter.
Obviously, you know Darn pretty well. He's got a reputation as being a guy who like is super into kind of watching film. Is that how was he when he was a younger guy? You know, was he like always kind of a student of the game, so to speak?
Kind of hard to be a student of the game at AAU, but when he was in high school, he was more. But AAU now. I mean, it's kind of hard. Like, you're going to watch film on teams like that. And back then, there wasn't really a big, like, ball is life, slam type of thing. Like, everything, like, we barely had film from AAU. So it's like, and we weren't ranked high. So it's pretty much like we just go out there, play. We would know who each other, like, know who other people are, but that's about it.
How do you go about deciding which shoes you wear for a game?
Ooh, this has got to feel right. It got to be game ready. I change our shoes so much. Like, it's, I just, I literally just see it. Like, I probably over, like, most, I wear only Kobe's pretty much. Every once in a while, you might see me in something else, but I probably have, like, over, like, 70 pair of Kobe's, 80 pair of Kobe's. And they just got to feel right. Because if they're older, they don't have the grip. But newer ones, but you gotta like break them in more. So it depends. I always, if anything goes wrong, I just go to Kobe 11 low. So.
So how like you mentioned, are you happy you have that big hoard with them probably not making any more Kobe?
Yeah, I make sure I got a lot more before they stop. So it's a rough way to find them. I'll be on StockX, go eBay. Found a very exclusive pair on Poshmark. Yeah, I really go searching for my Kobe's. I'm not gonna lie. I go search. I found some Aston Martin 5 Kobe's that I've been wanting since I was younger. So,
what's the most you've ever spent on one?
I don't want to. I disclose that. Oh, nah, I don't even want to.
What drew you to the Kobe's to begin with?
I've always loved Kobe's when I was younger. Like, when I was younger, I always just wanted Kobe's, wore Kobe's. And then, obviously, when you get a little bit of money, you can buy the Kobe's you want. So, I just started collecting them and, getting more Kobe's and having made my own sneaker page. So, yeah, I did a lot with my sneakers and it's helped me a lot.
When it comes to that collection, you have like, okay, these are your game shoes and then versus your non-game shoes?
I plan on wearing all of them in a game. It really depends if they're game ready. Like, because older ones don't have grip. So it's like, dang, I bought these. They don't got the grip to play on the court. So I just keep it part of my collection. But, like, I know my playable ones is – at least the 11s and the 9s. And then I'll play in like the 6s, 5s every once in a while. But yeah, it's hard for me to choose. I switch out of sneakers every day.
How do like shoe deals work for, you know, Donovan's shoe deal is crazy, right? Like does your shoe deal work for? Like,
I don't have a shoe deal. I'm a sneaker free agent.
Okay.
Just to let everybody know. but now I'm a sneaker free agent. I have a like, partnership with this company named Soul Savvy. Okay. So they're pretty good and that's about it.
So does Don ever like encourage you to wear his shoe?
Yeah, but he wears a 15, 14. I wear 13. So I can't wear his sneaker. But
they would probably make it with the Don your size if you wanted.
I tried to ask him. I still ain't get him. Still ain't get him. But nah, yeah, I'm a sneaker free agent. If anybody wants to send me some shoes, I could wear anything now. Yeah, but I still wear Kobe's most of the time. Off the court, I'll switch it up, but on the court, it's rough.
Well, I guess this is what's happened. And when, you know, you get 14, 15 games into a season, we get into shoe talk. I do know that there is a shoe shortage, and I know that there might be a supply issue, but there's a lot of shoe talk from Eric Paschal and from Joe Ingles. But I do know that some people are interested in shoes. It's just not my world.
What shoe are you wearing?
Guy?
What shoe are you
what
wearing?
What am I wearing?
Yeah, what are you wearing? What are you wearing these days? You got the Kobe's? You got the Spida Mitchells?
I actually have a Nike Max Dynasty 2 on. And the only reason I know that is because it says it in big letters on the tongue of my shoe.
I got to pull off my shoe and see what it is. I don't even know.
I, Lloyd, am a size 15. Actually, I'm a 15 on my left foot, a 15 and a half on my right foot, if we really want to get into details on this.
Wait, what?
And, yeah, I'm my right
why do foot I picture your foot being? Why do I picture your longer. Foot being like, the guy on Oh, what's the guy that has the black foot and being it being stabbed with stabbed with a fire poker?
The butler?
Yes.
Sorry, you're talking about Adam Sandler's character.
Yes. Why do I picture your foot being like that? Wait, so your shoe is like your foot is like a so you wear a 9 in hold on, what size did you say?
I've got a 15 on my left foot and a 15 and a half on my right foot.
How do you do that? How does that even work?
Well, I just buy the same shoe, and my big toe kind of pushes through on the right side.
Oh, okay. So you're not like swapping shoes. You're not like saying, hey, let me try that shoe and let me try that shoe, and then you're switching them in the box.
No.
Hey, it's just you and me. You can tell me.
Through. No, I'm serious. No, my toe.
Hey, I'm being serious.
And
you can tell me.
By the way, I don't think they actually make a 15 and a half, Lloyd. I think when you get in that 15-16 margin, it's
really?
You get a 15 or you get a 16. It's either too small or too big for you. Yeah, I've never seen a 15 and a half.
By the way, I wouldn't know. I'm in a 10, so I don't know, which is like that's the average man, which everybody has, so it's really hard to find that shoe size because everybody wears a 10.
Wild Turkey Fart Blunt, he just tweeted at us and he said, for Hans' sake, I hope there are no shortage of kids. Or monarchs? What is that? What are Keds and monarchs?
Well, Keds is kind of like it's kind of like a Converse, kind of like a. I think it's a Payless shoe version of essentially of the, of like a Converse.
Oh, it's a less expensive. Oh, then yeah. he's right. Wild Turkey always knows.
I don't know the other one though. I have no idea.
And then to Michael, who tweeted at us, he said, those shoes questions are clown questions. Edit that stuff out. Michael, I apologize. That's my bad. I was in the wrong. I'll do better next time. Jeez Louise. But, yeah, shoes, the shoe situation, whatever you do, have kids with feet that are undersized 14. Otherwise, it's a constant shoe shortage unless you are an NBA athlete.
Wait, what's Rock in? What is he in right now?
A 15.
Oh.
Yeah, he's
and
in
you
15.
Can't find a 15 and a half. They just don't do those.
I'm afraid he's going to hit a 16 or possibly 17, which worries me because he's only 14. So it worries me that he's going to be – because I struggle to find a 15. You can never find a 16. 17s are like – you're going to have those.
You know what? You need
–
I'll bet you Mama Olson could find it. I guarantee it. You don't put in the effort. Mama Olson could find it, though. And I'm talking about Fawn. Fawn can do it.
I'm not doing this with you, Lloyd.
No, what I'm saying is your mom could find anything. Like
she can.
She was amazing. Yes. So maybe you need to put Mama Fawn on it.
In fact, Eric Paschal and Joe Ingles, you run out of some of those Kobes. Let me know. My mom will find you some shoes.
Mama Fawn will probably sew you a Kobe.
She would sew you up a Kobe. We got What You May Miss coming up next. By the way, big things going on in the state of Utah with something other than basketball and football, but a sporting event that is big time, and it's happening right now. I'll tell you what that is, a state championship for the record books, and much more coming up in What You May Miss. That's all next on Hans and Scotty.
The new zone lineup is here. Give it up. With the best coverage of the sports you love and the teams you can't live without. Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10, followed by Jake Scott and Ben Anderson from 10 to noon. Get your daily fix of Hans and Scotty from noon to 3. And then the zone welcomes Unrivaled with Alex Keery and former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell to the team. Weekdays from 3 to 6, live and local. All day, every day. This is 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Oh, when the man's away, the cats will play, huh, Lloyd?
Yes, they will. Only Scotty's, time I get to play it. Don't have to
Scotty's
deal with
least
him.
Favorite bump. Lloyd loves it. I don't mind it. Play it whenever you want to play it, Lloyd. It's fine. Hey, by the way, 855-340-9663. The 85th caller. I'm just kidding. Lloyd, I'm totally kidding. The 12th caller right now at 855-340-ZONE is going to get themselves a pair of tickets to tonight's Jazz Raptors game. 855-340-9663.
Hey, you want to do 85th? I can do it. It's not my first rodeo. I know how to get through 85 calls.
We don't have 85 listeners. It'd be the same three people calling 85 times, Lloyd. So let's just make let's make it the 12th so we can just have maybe six listeners call two times. How does that sound? 12th caller, 855-340-9663. Hey, Lloyd, do you have our Snow College update sounder ready? Maybe not. Probably not. It is a Snow College update. Why? Well, because my baby girl plays for the volleyball team with Snow College, and they won their regional tournament, and they're currently in the national tournament in Kansas. They opened up against Northeastern College with a victory. That is correct, Johnny. Snow College advances in the national tournament after a win over Northeastern College. Ashlyn, my sweet baby girl, and all those other wonderful women out there playing and representing for Snow College in the national tournament. Keep it up. Keep up the good work. You guys are amazing. It's my favorite sport to watch by a country mile. Awesome. And my daughter is just one of the more incredible people I've ever met in my life. Secondly, and what you may have missed, Weezer. That's right, Weezer High School. Playing in the state championship against Snake River, the very Snake River team that beat me in 1996 in our state championship game. So, Weezer, good luck. Go do what I couldn't do, nearly single-handed, because nobody else on the team really wanted to play in that game. Weezer, go out and get it done. Go win that state championship. And then one other story to get to in what you may have missed. And, Lloyd, I don't know if you saw this, but I worry about our boy Scotty just a little bit. For those of you that don't know, Scott Girard is the play-by-play voice for the Utah State Aggies. In fact, he's currently on the call on the 1280 AM side of things. So yesterday it was announced that the Big 12 sent out a public reprimand of the Texas Tech football radio announcing crew. Again, the Big 12 sent out a public reprimand and a game suspension for the Texas Tech football radio announcing crew. Why, you might ask? It's kind of ridiculous. So the two men, one named Brian Jensen, the other John Harris, were going back and forth because near the end of the game, there was a turnover. It was the official overturned an apparent interception on the goal line by the Red Raiders with about 7 minutes left in the game. So then the Texas Tech announcers were nuts. First guy says, I'll say it right now. The Big 12 does not want Iowa State to lose this game. His analyst comes on. He says, yeah, Bob Bowlsby, you need to answer to this. This is ridiculous. The inconsistency of this referee crew is in favor of Iowa State. It's unbelievable. The Big 12 should be embarrassed. The Big 12 should be embarrassed with this group. We've only pointed out two guys. I'm going to read them all to you. And he went down the entire officiating crew that was out on the field for this Iowa State-Texas Tech game as they continued to berate the officiating crew. Apparently, it's a big no-no. And then Jensen, the analyst, came on and he tweeted during the game about the call and asked why there was no review on a play that was ruled an interception despite the tight end appearing to be down by contact before the ball came loose. So there, I'm telling you, I'm looking at the picture right now. The knee is down. It looked like this needed to be reviewed. It looked like this announcing crew actually had cause to be angry. Texas Tech ended up winning this game, a big win for Texas Tech, which just, it continues to just drive a nail right into my back because I can't believe they let go of such a good coach at 5-3. Matt Wells was 5-3 with Texas Tech when they let him go. And now Texas Tech goes on. They beat Iowa State. They would have done that with Matt Wells, and maybe he's got a future with them. Maybe he gets this team reorganized. They come back next year with a little veteran leadership. They get some wins and find their way to a Big 12 conference championship.
5-3 doesn't fill that out of organized. That out of whack, by the way.
Not at all. I still can't believe it. But, Lloyd, do you fear that at some point we're going to be talking about Scott Gerard getting a Mountain West Conference reprimand for going off on the officials? I can't believe they announced every official by name. But if I was that angry and I saw a call like that and I was on the teams or the conferences play-by-play or color analyst crew, and I saw something like that, I would say something.
Yeah, probably should have named everyone by name, but absolutely, it's what the home team announcers do. They call out something that they feel is not being officiated correctly, or if they miss a flag that's missed or whatever. Like that's what Homer Radio does. That's what the home team does. They call out those things. They stick up for who they're calling the game for.
Apparently you can't do it in the Big 12, Lloyd, because there's a reprimand, and they've been taken off the call next week. So.
He is defenseless! He's defenseless! Don't you understand?
Talk about blowing up in the studio.
Scotty will be reprimanded at some point, I'm sure.
Erupting in the play-by-play booth. Scotty did call for Wright Waters in his last broadcast.
By the way, he's funny. He's got these little quips that he has in his calls that he's you can tell he's feeling it. He's in the moment and he does a nice job. They're funny.
You can hear that call right now. I'm not advertising to leave this.
Yeah, no, don't go listen to him right now.
Christian Cox is.
We're gonna be giving away more Jazz tickets.
Yeah, we got Jazz tickets. He's not giving away Jazz tickets.
No, he's not.
But he is on the 1280 AM side of things. If you want to hear the Utah State game, he's on the call for that Utah State game on the 1280 AM side of things. Christian Cox, former Utah defensive end, he's going to be joining me here momentarily. We're going to get into the Utah preview show. We've got so many things to get to. Utah in a huge matchup with Oregon. And we're going to talk about Kyle Whittingham. Obviously, Christian Cox played with Kyle Whittingham. Knows Coach Whittingham extremely well. We're going to talk about where Kyle is in his career. I know everybody sees the rumors. I know Utah fans hate the rumors. But that doesn't mean that we don't address what's out there, because there are plenty of things circulating. And I think Christian Cox would be one great guy to talk to about all those rumors that are circulating. We are live at Tim Daly Nissan, and we're here with one of my favorites, Rich, and we are throwing all kinds of numbers and deals and opportunities out onto the table. Do we still have the Black Friday offer?
You know, I was just going to bring it up if you didn't, because next Thursday is Thanksgiving. And, yes, we do have the Black Friday offer. If you come in here, you mention Black Friday today, we will give you a Black Friday deal.
Starting today.
That's starting today. I actually did it last week. We did a bunch of them over the past week. So if you're out driving around, you're at home listening, you're ready to get a car, and you're waiting for that Black Friday deal, you don't have to wait till next week. Just come on down today. Mention that you heard Black Friday when you talk to your salesman or ask for me, and we'll make sure that you get a Black Friday deal so you have a nice new vehicle for the holidays. And we have lots of clients that, there's nothing like going to grandma's house.
New Frontier parked out
with the new rig.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's sitting in the house like, what?
And you're like, hey, things are going well for me. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I don't know what's up. But, Rich took care of us, Tim Daly Nissan. And so that's always a nice thing. Lots of people like to do that. And when you buy that car, you do get the forever warranty.
Forever warranty, that means as long as you own that vehicle, it could be 200,000 miles. If the engine goes out, transmission goes out, you bring it into Rich, you bring it into Nissan, Tim Daly here, and they will take care of you.
That's a groundbreaking warranty. You cannot buy it. It's offered by Tim Daly. And Tim was the one that put that program together starting 2 years ago, and we have sold hundreds of more cars because of it. It's a great reason to come down and pick out, choose from our 350 cars I have on the lot right now.
And
get that forever warranty, because no one else offers that.
I also want to mention this because I'm on board with this, and I love what you do for this, and I love what Tim Daly does for this. But the Toys for Tots giveaway, you've got a barrel in here. You've got a couple of different boxes in here. that anybody can come in and drop in a new toy.
That's right. Yeah, we've had those boxes. We've unloaded them probably 5 or 6 times already. We put them in cars, and so we need them loaded up again every day. If you're in the area, please stop by. Bring some toys for the kids. It's something that we do every year, and we end up spending probably just from the people in the Tim Daly organization, maybe around $50,000 in toys for the kids.
That's great.
And we work with the Marines, and it's a wonderful program. We're part of the community. We love our community. We love our families that buy cars from us. And so please participate. We enjoy it.
I want you to come down here, Tim Daly Nissan here in Murray, just off State Street. You could get off 4500 South or 5300 South. Come up to State Street. We're right here off that State Street. And ask for Rich. Come in and say, hey, Rich, I want that Black Friday deal.
There you go.
Take advantage of it. That's all here on Hanson Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone in The Zone Sports Network.